Welcome to Rebecca Sounds Reveille. I have got quite a show for you today because I've got somebody who doesn't normally do interviews. And while this is exciting because I feel privileged and honored to have him on the show, and you should too because he's a writer, a director, a producer, author, comic book writer, podcaster, artist, and a business entrepreneur. And he started creating his own comics in the 1990s and well, he really didn't make a name for himself until the launch of his online magazine, but that was called World of Myth. So there's a lot that is going on with him, which is absolutely incredible. He founded Dark Myth Production Studios, and he did start publishing work outside the magazine. He's got a monthly serial feature, which is apocalyptic. I've got to let him tell you about it. And there's much more to him, and there's much, much more to the work that he produces that gets out on a weekly basis with his own show. So I'd like to welcome him to the show now, David Montoya. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
I am really excited about you being here today with all of the things that you do. It's such an honor because you don't normally get on this end of the camera. And so I'm really excited about all the things that you're doing. I want to hear a little bit about how you got started in what you're doing. And I especially want to know about the comic end of it. So can you tell me how you got started in everything that you're doing?
I guess the best place to start is the beginning, huh? Initially, believe it or not, it all came down to the point where I was a freshman in high school. I live in California State, and they do an assessment test when you go into high school. And it was revealed, I knew it, but it was revealed publicly that I had a third grade reading level. I could barely read. And I was ashamed and embarrassed. And, many times multiple teachers had tried to encourage me, family tried to encourage me to read. It was just something that never really sparked my attention. But I've always loved art. Always. My parents would tell me, as a little boy, I would be drawing. And that birthday, that 13th birthday in high school, my aunt had given me a stack of comic books. And those comic books sat on my desk for months. But it was just the artwork. I walked by it every day. I seen the artwork. And one day I was like, I want to see what this is about. The artwork looks great. So I looked through and I started looking through the artwork. And the artwork was just amazing. It was 90s old school. And then probably maybe that week, maybe the next week, I made the decision to, I want to find out what the story is. And so I started trying to read. Introducing myself to words that I had no clue. And I'd always ask my parents, I was like, what is this word? What is this word? And I'd get so frustrated with their answer. They're like, go get a dictionary and look it up. And that was their constant. And in fact, I still have that dictionary. And I would look up that word and I would highlight the word. And there is that, I'd at least say at least 45 to 50% of that dictionary is highlighted.
How neat is that?
Yeah. So that was 91, roughish. So about 92, I finished everything. I had read up on everything. I finished the entire series of what I could buy. And I was like, I had this creative need that needed to be fulfilled. And I couldn't find anything to fulfill it. So I was like, I'm going to write me a comic book. So I'm going to write my own comic book story. And I still have that story too. It's framed actually.
Ooh.
And I wrote the comic book story and that was it. I was like, oh my Lord. It was a satisfaction that to this day, I still get that same satisfaction as I complete a story.
It wasn't good. It was great.
The story was it was okay, you know, for, you know, first time writer, but yes.
But you, I mean, within you, you're just the, I mean, the satisfaction, the creativity, what you did, you accomplish.
Yes.
This is amazing.
Well, the second part's my actual favorite part. The second part of the story is that after that part, and I worked on perfecting my craft as a writer, because that's what I am. I do a lot of different things. You know, for many years, a lot of people just sought me as a business owner, you know, and an entrepreneur, but I'm more of a writer than anything else. And I tried to go through, and this was during the heights of the 90s comic revolution, and I was trying to get into different companies as a writer. And there was a couple times that they were like, oh, you're talented. And then, of course, I sent in all my information. They're like, oh, you're a minor. We can't hire you. And I was very frustrated. I still needed to make – I wanted to be something. I wanted to do something more than just write. And at the time, my aunt, who was my editor for the story, I looked at her. I said, I think I'm going to make my own comic book from beginning to end. And she's like, go do it. So I did. I wrote my story. I did the artwork. I'm also an artist. My brother inked the artwork, which means I lay down the pencil artwork and he takes the ink and covers it with ink.
Okay.
And then my aunt would do the editor, you know, position, make sure everything was clean and, you know, bubbles were spelled right and everything. And then I would go down to my local liquor store, literally, and make color copies of these comic books, multiple copies. And I staple them together. And when it was like a dollar, maybe $1.25 for like mainstream comics, I was selling these crappy little comics for almost $3.
And no kidding.
And it took off. And that's where it all started. That's where everything.
This is absolutely amazing because you also have done a magazine and you have more with that.
Yes.
Can we talk about that too?
The World of Myth, let's see, where do I start? The World of Myth celebrates as of September 6th will be the 15-year anniversary of the World of Myth. And what it was is I was running the comic industry through my magazine. So essentially it was still an e-zine before an e-zine was recognized.
Uh-huh.
And I was putting up the comic stores because it was so much cheaper and productive cost to just do the artwork in the stories and put it up online for, you know, people to read.
Sure, sure.
And I noticed that the hits were going down. Everything was declining. It was at the time my little sister wrote a little story, you know, just a short story, and put it up on the site. And of course, I put it up there for her. And I noticed a lot of people were really gravitating toward the written part. And I seen a kind of a flux in change of readership. And I was like, okay, we're gonna do something different. So I decided that I was going to walk away from the comics, which I did. And I, at the time, met who would become my mentor and one of my closest friends in the world. And his name was Terry DeShear. He was a known author and editor here where I live. And I, will say, negotiated for quite a few months, but he finally agreed to be the editor-in-chief of my World of Myth magazine. And what we did is, instead of doing comic books for the first time, we started doing short stories in multiple genres.
Okay.
And it was more than just, you know, a fantasy magazine or a sci-fi or horror magazine. We presented the horror, we presented the sci-fi, the fantasy, the action suspense. And we also offered artwork and poetry. And I don't think in the first issues we were doing any type of reviews, but that's what we were doing. And it has grown over the years. I mean, when I first said this, it was kind of a joke, but I sincerely mean it. It was that you work with these people and these people have the same creative outlet and passion as you, and you talk to them on a personal level, they no longer become employees or contributors. They become family. And that's the way I look at the people that from day one to day now, everybody that has ever been in the World of Myth to me is an extended part of my family.
Oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. I mean, they're supporting everything that you're doing that in that respect. So I totally get it. Now you have another magazine too, though, that you're working on. Two.
Okay. Herodica is probably the one that you're thinking of. That one is currently locked up for issues that I'm having. It's an adult magazine. It's an 18 and older magazine, but it's focused on, it's Herodica. That's what it is. It's that genre. And the funny thing is I didn't create that. That was the second property the IP I purchased. I purchased that property. Okay. Because they, at the time, it was like 2007, and our horror part of the magazine of the World of Myth was really, really amped. I mean, we had so many horror stories, and they were going after our writers. And then they went after my editor, and it literally became a rivalry between the World of Myth and Herodica. In the end, I ended up purchasing it from Griffin Moon LLC, and I purchased the property rights. And that's how I became the owner.
Wow.
And we ran that. It was originally Herodica.com. And I know that you'll probably want to get into this part a little bit later, but my wife had passed away and I just kind of shut down. And this was in 2015. And I didn't pay no attention to internet properties. I think it was like literally 2 years after my wife had passed before I even opened up a laptop. And one of the properties that I had lost was Herodica, and a squatter. You know what a squatter is?
I do.
Someone who, someone that comes in and picks up an address and they want, $10,000 to buy it back. Well, that's my issue right now, is this guy wants like 10 grand to buy me to buy back Herodica. And I'm like, no, not doing it.
Oh, so that's why we're not.
Yes. So.
Are you kidding me?
This $10,000.
There's a whole thing going on with this kind of thing. There's people going to houses and listing them on the internet, these empty houses. And listing them for sale, and there's a whole thing about squatters and misrepresentation and just a lot of ugly things that are going on, and people are really losing a lot of money on this. And I am so sorry to hear this, because this is a huge challenge.
It is. And
the problem is, you going to court to fix it, you have to pay for all the fees.
Exactly. So where we're at now is kind of a stalemate. Like, okay, I'm not buying back the domain name, but if you use Herodica online magazine, I will sue the crap out of you, because I own that trade. So we're at a standstill. And that was the second magazine.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. What? That is very interesting. So, okay, so let's kind of go to a positive note here. Let's talk about your podcast. Because you have quite a podcast going, with your show is just growing, and it's awesome.
2012 is when I started podcasting. And the whole idea is, I was working at a Then I was working in a hospital. I have 20 years as a hospital experience, cardiac experience, I mean. And I wasn't seeing my family. I wasn't seeing my friends. And I just felt like I was getting distance between them, and someone told me about podcasting. I was like, pod wedding? And so I looked into it and I was like, you know, that would be a great idea to have my friends and family come over, just talk about stupid stuff and record it and make it a schedule, make it a business thing. But at the same time, I get to see my family and my friends face to face and we can laugh together.
Uh-huh.
And that's the initial concept behind it, is how it was born. And at the time, I only had two kids, Jaden and Zoe. And of course, our last name is Montoya. So I named it, my company, Jay for my son, Zoe for my daughter, and Mon from our last name. So the company's name was Jaisal Mon. And the podcast, I was trying to be clever, is instead of taking the Mon, M-O-N, I took, instead of putting podcast, I took the P and put M, so modcast, and stuck it to the Jaisal Modcast Network.
That is awesome.
And that's where it came from. And one of my favorite shows in the whole wide world, I loved it, was my sister, and it was our flagship show for many years. My sister, her husband, actually, before they were even engaged, they were boyfriend and girlfriend when they first started the show. And if you follow the show, they go into being, you know, fianced. And then I snuck my phone into the wedding and recorded the whole wedding as a podcast.
You didn't. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we did that for, goodness, 5 years. And then they moved on to, they left to Las Vegas. They live in Las Vegas. And that drive, I tried it a couple times, and that drive was just too strenuous because I live in California to do it every single week. Uh-huh. And their work schedule and my schedule, just, it wasn't copacetic. So we had to let that go. But as of today, I have my public life as an American nerd, because I'm a nerd. I just, you know, it's a beautiful time in the world where you can say, yeah, I'm a nerd, it's okay. You know, as to back in when I was in school, a nerd was fighting words.
So, of course, of course.
So I do that. I do that every week. And I talk to, I don't really do that many shows, interviews for that one. I just kind of geek out. It's my outlet to geek out on nerd culture. And then just recently, I've brought back Who's the Boss? And Who's the Boss? This incarnation is, I want to focus on people and their dreams of being an entrepreneur. And it doesn't matter what it is.
That is neat, because it's so empowering for the guest and the audience as well.
Yes. And I'm hoping that someone that walks away from, or not walks away, but you know, they listen to it, they feel like, I can do this, I can try my dreams, because there's nothing wrong with trying it, and there's nothing wrong with failing at your dreams, because you learn from your mistakes and try again. Lord knows I've I've made many mistakes,
but that's the thing of it, you learn from them and you grow from them, and those are the things that help make you successful, because you are equipped for better decision-making from past.
Absolutely.
So that is a really good point to make. And so, yeah, definitely. I love this. And so you have a lot of things that you do that you're very talented at. You're artistic. You have good business sense. You just really have an amazing array of talent, and you're using it, and you're incorporating, including your family in this. And this is so, I mean, it's just, it brings such warmth to the heart to know that you're including them as well with the things you do. And you have something now as well. Well, let me go back to the comic books. Are you still doing comic books now?
We are working on revising it because of the whole, the launch of the e-comic has kind of revolutionized everything.
Okay.
And we kind of readjusted the industry. So we are trying to figure out where independents like us would have our footing in it. So it's there. It's being yes. worked on, but it's not released.
Well, that makes a lot of sense because, I mean, you've got the two majors in that industry, and I can understand that. So, and I would want to keep that for myself as well. I'd like to be, if I, you know, I'd be an independent too. So that I can completely understand that. It's pretty neat though, what you have going on and the amount of things that carry over to help others. I just love it. And you've got something special coming out in December. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Most of my adult life, I think I've focused on promoting and help. I think that was like one of my biggest skills or gifts, if you even want to call it that, is I can track something. I can see something in an individual that they might not even see, like a diamond in the rough. And I can really just pull it out of them. And that's what I do. That's like one of the big things of the world of myth is I'll see someone who's like, you're really talented. And I will work with them and help them get into a book deal, which I own Dark Myth Publications. So I do own book deals. So with that said, I've been published in like anthologies. And back in 2014, I released a book of short stories. But I have never done a novel until this year.
Oh.
This year in December, not sure on the actual, I want to say between like the 10th to the 17th, somewhere in there. My very first novel, it's a murder mystery. It's called Through the Eyes of Madness. And I've been working on it for almost 2 years.
I love it. Through the Eyes of Madness. Wow. So this is very exciting. Are you going to be doing book signings?
I'm going to do one book signing, which kind of goes into the pop culture expo that I'm working on.
Oh, very nice.
I'll be there and I will set aside some time to do some book signings. But as of right now, I'm just like really swamped.
You are. You have a lot going on, and I really appreciate you taking the time to be on the show today because you have a lot going on. But I really want people to know what you do, and what you do is done very, very well.
Thank you.
I want them to catch on to what you're doing. I want them to be able to get a hold of your new novel, and I also want them to listen to what you have on your shows and see the productions that you do as well. So I, again, thank you for being on the show. And I'd like you to really share with the audience how they can get in contact with you.
You can always track me down on Facebook, and it's facebook.com/david.k.montoya. That's kind of like to track me down because there's tons of David Montoyas in the world. How I separate myself is David K. Montoya. So you can go there, or you can go David K. Montoya at Twitter, or same thing with Instagram, or you could just put DK Montoya at Jayzomon, JAYZOMON.com. And that's my email address. And it might take me a week to get back to you, but I promise I'll get back to you.
That's fantastic information. And so I have a question for you too. So with Dark Myth Productions, publications, do you take on a writer who wants to publish a book?
Absolutely. In fact, we did something really special this year. It's called Open Contract Challenge. And initially we took 50 contributors, and it didn't matter if there was going to be a poetry book, an art book, a novel. And we put them through these different challenges, and it went from 50 to 20 to 10. Right now we're at the final five, And then Monday, we're going to figure out who is going to be in the semifinal, the final two. Now, the semifinalists automatically get an ebook deal. They will be published, you know, their book will be published in Kindle format for sure. And then whoever the grand prize winner is will get a paperback, a hardback deal, the ebook deal, plus they get a cash prize, plus they get a ticket to PCE, the expo, for a signing. We'll put them up for dinner in a hotel during the process, and then we'll ship them back to wherever they come from.
So, no kidding. This is fantastic. This is really fantastic. So there's a lot that you offer. You have your show. You've got your publications. I mean, this is rocking. This is really absolutely rocking. And for anyone out there who's ever thought about putting their work into a published format, whether it be print or digital, Dark Myth is right here. And it can be done for you. And I wish I would have known about that contest. I've got to tell you, because I'm a writer and I would have liked to have known about that, but maybe in the next go. So with that said, do you have any other upcoming events like that at all?
Let's see, September we're having, which we're putting out into a digital and printed format for the magazine, because it's the actual 15-year anniversary. And don't hesitate. If you feel like you can, it doesn't matter if you're a writer, an author, a poet, an artist, a reviewer, if you feel like you can give us something that's worthwhile, can I plug my editor's email address? Is that okay?
Yeah.
The editor-in-chief, Stephanie Barty, she does a wonderful job with my magazine. I have to give her high kudos, and I should have given it to her sooner. She's the one that keeps the ball rolling when I'm off on doing my umpteen zillion other projects. Send her. It doesn't matter if you've never been published before. We love it when you're not published. Send it to her, Stephanie Barty, and it's STEPHANIEBARDY @theworldofmyth.com.
I love it. I love it. All right, give out your information one more time before I let you go. I know that you're a busy man, and I appreciate you so much for being here today.
Oh, I had a blast.
Yes, thank you.
I admit, I had a blast. I was kind of hesitant at first, but I had a blast. Again.
We do it again. We're going to do it again. So anyway, give out your information so that everybody can connect with you.
Okay. All you have to do, type in David K. Montoya in the search bar, and you'll find me at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or DK Montoya @JayZomon.com.
I love it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm so excited.
Yes, thank you.
And I want to thank all of you for tuning in to another episode of Rebecca Sounds Reveille. I hope that you get connected with David. And if you've had that desire and just never acted on it, now's the time. You can actually have your work published. And you've got somebody who has started with a desire and really taken the steps to make his dreams come true, and he can help you do the same. So thank you again for tuning in. I hope that you take the time to share this episode with your friends, your family, all over social media, with everybody that you know, and even those you don't. Thanks again. Welcome to Rebecca Sounds Reveille. I have a returning guest today who I absolutely adore. He is incredible because he provided you with a lot of information on the last show that he was here, and he's going to do the same today. In fact, he is a member of the Presidential Who's Who, the Million Dollar Roundtable. He's been featured in a number of publications, such as the Oakland Press, Detroit News, The Observer and Eccentric, Builder Magazine, Consumer Digest, WWJ Radio 950, many more, Fox 2 Detroit, and even CNG newspaper. I've got to tell you, what's incredible about him is he is really driven to help people with their finances, so much so that he doesn't like people handcuffed to the way that other people have certain ideas and beliefs about how things should be, such as corporate shackles on finances. And that kind of mentality puts people in boxes. And so he decided to go independent and make sure that he was able to focus on really what people want, what they need, and where they want to go. And so what he did was he decided he would design a program that would truly help people maintain their current lifestyle and then also see what he calls the more. And I think we all really like to see what is the more. What is there? What's out there that really could enhance what we have going on, and maybe even more than just enhance it, just really broaden the scope and ripple effect the people that their lives that are those that we love that are around us. And so really, really focusing on that has been his objective. He is the president and owner of CKS Summit Group. With me today and my returning guest, Al Caicedo. Welcome.
Hey, thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
I am really excited because you have spent 20 years in helping your clients, and you've directed them along these paths that they need to go. You protected and preserved assets. You've utilized safe money strategies, and more, including safety and risk elimination. And this is kind of right up my alley with safety. This is a big thing for me. And with what has been happening in the terms of safety and risk, it's been a big deal right now. There's even, you might be familiar with this, I'm sure you are, because a lot of people are worried about what's going on with their finances since the big issue with the credit bureau leak, and what is happening with identity theft. And so risk and safety precautions is pretty much paramount right now.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's really paramount in every aspect of life, I feel. You were just talking about the credit risk and everything else that's going on right now with all the breaches and everything that's going on in this world. So we have that type of risk, and we have financial risks that are going on. And, you know, we're sitting right now in pretty dynamic times as far as the economics are concerned. And with so much going on, the Fed manipulating interest rates, you have our president fighting with other countries with trade wars. Yes. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, that has a ripple effect, and it comes down and affects us as the investors, as people, as citizens of this country. So, we're living in pretty dynamic times right now, and, you know, the alarms are out there. So now it's just navigating through all that and getting through all these crazy times and you know, maintaining what I was, you know, we focus a lot here on lifestyle, maintaining your lifestyle through all of this.
That's a really good point, because I think that we all become accustomed to a certain way of life. And even if we have certain dreams, sometimes we even think they're so far out there that we don't actually shoot for them all the time, but we do look at maintaining our current status quo, if nothing else. So to think about how to maintain that, how to protect that, our circle, our comfort zone, what do we need to do to prevent a situation that really could be catastrophic to our lifestyle, to our self-esteem, to our everything that is us?
Well, financially speaking, because that, you know, that could go into so many different avenues, but financially speaking, you know, I think one of the things that as we move closer to that retirement age, you know, we decided many years ago to really just concentrate on that pre-retiree individual And it has been, you know, to watch those dynamics and everything throughout the years has been, you know, just exciting and wonderful for us to be part of. And really is we have to, as we get closer into that time, we're going to say, hey, you know what? We worked for this money for the last 30, 40 years. Now this money has to work for us for the next 25, 30 years. Is understanding that time is an issue, and understanding that if we make mistakes early in retirement or getting close to retirement, it really changes how we're going to live. It's going to really change the lifestyle we want to live. And when lifestyle changes, then all the other changes starts happening, because from there it's this ripple effect into our own personal being, because we're not happy. We're not doing what we thought we were doing. You know, everybody has a lot of people have delayed gratification, where they've delayed a lot of things so that they can have a decent, you know, outcome.
Yes.
And if you make a mistake, then all of a sudden all that delayed gratification that you did and all the sacrifices that you did now become an issue, because there was a mistake done. And now the years where you thought you were going to be able to, reap what you sowed, it's gone. So it's really important to understand that transition and to really understand the need to be able to manage risk as you're going closer into those years of retirement, or if you're in retirement.
So for somebody that was just starting out, they say, what do you mean, Al, by risk? Are you talking about investing or just safeguarding my assets in a way where it's like I have to look at, you know, what happens as far as planning is concerned if something happens to me? What a 401k type things? What really do you mean by risk?
Risk is the amount of risk that you're taking, the amount of what I would say, the amount of gambling you want to do. With your life,
really.
As far as, yeah, you know, because it is, you know, when we play the stock market, it really is, you know, it's just legalized gambling. But you know, we as we get older, you know, when you're younger, we're really concerned about growth, and you know, we're pouring money into our 401ks, we're putting money into IRAs, we're doing all these things to that, so that the one day when it gets here, we have something to supplement our income with, right? So we're very growth oriented as we're going through that process. However, when we're getting close to that retirement age, now we have to manage the risk. How much risk are we willing to, how much of our money are we willing to just lose?
There you go.
And feel okay with? How much money is it that, you know, what is that number? If you lose 10% of your portfolio, 20%, 30%, 40%, 50%, because I always tell my clients, risk is equated to how much you don't care about what you're losing.
See, I like that, because there's a lot of, when you're first going into the workforce, and we have a lot of people that are now, obviously, because generationally speaking, one person has two or three kids, those have three kids, and so exponentially, there's going to be more population. So we have more people going into the workforce now than ever before. And so there's going to be people now going, I don't understand what's going on with finances when it comes to risk, portfolios, 401k, 403b, what do I do? And how do I play it? What's low, moderate, high risk? And I think what's really important is they have someone that understands this and can talk to them about what they want their lifestyle to be and what their current lifestyle is, and say, okay, what kind of person are you? Because are you somebody that's willing to take risks and still be able to maintain your current lifestyle? I mean, how far can you go? Moderate risk, you know, high risk or whatever. And if that's the case, then you can guide them on what they need to do for that particular risk. And so I think, you know, we take health assessments, right? Okay, I need to assess my mental health. I need to assess my physical health. And we can do something about that based on what we find. We even take personality health tests, right? And, you know, or,
absolutely.
You know what, yeah. I mean? We take, yeah, these tests, different types of tests, and then we try to modify things to make them better in our own eyes. Because, absolutely, I think most of us even if we don't admit it, are kind of our own worst critic. And if you're type A personality, you're even more driven to be your own worst critic. But I think one of the areas that we forget is that when it comes to finances, we need to take an assessment as well, not only to see where we're at, but where we want to go and what we want to do in terms of getting there. And without someone that is knowledgeable and has the experience such as yourself that can direct them in the direction that is specific to them, it's very, very difficult without trying to, I know the internet's there, but it's great, but it's very confusing because it you can see a lot of different web pages, but it's not the same as talking and being able to see specific to yourself. So I like what you're saying because let me ask you though, and I'll go back to this. Let me ask you though, Al, how long does it take to really take a financial assessment of your own finances?
Well, it depends how complicated it is. I mean, certainly, you know, at least a couple hours worth of trying to get an idea, you know, because, you know, it's kind of like the, it's interesting to me always that we always go look, you know, when we're in trouble with our car, we go to a mechanic. When we're not feeling well, we go to a doctor. We still might go to WebMD, but eventually we end up calling a doctor.
Yes.
For some reason, when it comes to finances, people have an aversion to asking for help when, you know, it's not necessarily their career or their path. They're off doing something else, but everybody seems to think that they can just figure it out on their own. Not everybody, but a large majority of people. And so to me, I think that educating yourself about yourself, about your own personal finances, your own personal well-being, I think is really, really important. Because what happens, you know, most of, you know, at least, you know, what we see here in Michigan, for example, we see a lot of people are 401k driven and IRA driven. And so they have most of their money is invested through their employers, not too much on their own, but mostly through employers. And really, there's not much education going on in there. People don't really know what they're doing. They're getting what I call desk advice. They look to the guy that's next to them and the lady next to them. And then what they're doing, oh, maybe I should be doing. Oh, he said to go buy this. I'll go buy it. You know,
I am guilty of exactly what you are saying. So when I'm retired now, and even now, I don't even have someone to, without going to someone like yourself, to be able to turn to and say, well, what are you doing, right? Because unless you start, you know, circling yourself with retirees, which you always want to maintain a good circle of influence, but unless you're doing that, you don't know. And most of them will say, well, I have Social Security or I have this, and there's a different type of reliance. Okay, but in the workforce, you are 100%. You go to HR, you sign up when you get hired with all these different things. From there, you kind of don't know unless one of the organizations that you have, like an association, will say, okay, let's get someone from such and such CKS to come in and give us a presentation. They can educate us a little bit better. Unless that happens, you're really asking the next guy, who did you go to? And they're saying, well, this person said this. And I can remember very vividly someone saying, hey, you know that 401k that we all got? I'm going to tell you what, I found something for us that's a little bit better. I'm really making some bank on this one, and it's a 403b. And I'm sitting here going, well, what is that? Well, who do I talk to about this, and what do I do? And I mean, it's just deer in the headlights look, because now you're wondering if their situation applies to you, but maybe it doesn't.
Yeah. You can have somebody with a heart condition and they're taking a medication, and you have the same heart condition and you take that medication and it can kill you. Mm-hmm. Financially, it's the same thing. And you can commit financial suicide by just following what other people are doing and not really taking a you know, I always say you have to inspect what you expect.
Oh, I like
so
that.
So without, you know, without inspecting what you have going on, you have no idea, what the expectation is. So it really gets back again to self-evaluation, to really finding that individual that can help guide you, that has you know dedicated their life to doing so. And not that other people around you don't have savviness or intellect, but we always have to be careful that everybody's doing their thing based on their life, based on their position, based on everything, not on yours. And so when you get an independent evaluation of where you're at, the worst thing that can happen is that you learned something, that you have an idea, that you now have a course, that you now have, you know, that you now have a vision, and you have an end result, a goal in mind. I think that's the worst thing that could ever happen. So again, nothing against, you know, your next door advisor, but they're worried about their life. They're not really worried about yours. They're just saying, this is what I'm doing. And then, you know, that's it. Individuals like myself, we are vested in our clients. This is what we love. This is, you know, in my case, this is what I love. This is what I live for every day, so that we're making a difference every day in people's lives. So I just think, you know, we have to get back to again inspecting what we expect, and, you know, and moving on.
I think that is a really good phrase. That is something that we need to think about, inspecting what we expect, because we don't look at our expectations oftentimes. I mean, they're in our head. Sometimes they're just fleeting thoughts. And what's really interesting, and I have found this on a personal level, I don't know, it will apply directly. I don't know if you have ever had this situation yourself, and you don't have to mention it here, but I'm going to call myself out on this. And that is, the most disappointing thing I have found in other people is when I think they've let me down, it's because I've placed an expectation on them and it wasn't met. And the thing is, they shouldn't have been anything other than themselves. They didn't owe it to me to know what I wanted of them. So the thing of it is, I didn't really think much into not placing an expectation on them, but I should have, because then I would have been able to really look at my ROI on that particular relationship or situation. And I wouldn't have had a hard, you know, kind of a hard knock on it, or a loss. My risk wouldn't have had a loss to it. So if we do inspect what our expectations are, we will actually maybe have a flourishing result, especially when it comes to finances. This is important because in this particular case, you can actually see it in black and white, because you can look at the various options and then you have your visual, and you can take it from, you can look at it from the left to the middle to the right and go, okay, these are some options I have here and I can see it. And that registers in your brain. Oftentimes, if we're just searching through the internet, we're listening to other people, that visual to our lives does not connect. Sounds good, looks good here, but really connecting it with all of the things that are applicable to us, whole different story. So this is pretty interesting. And the other thing is that comes into play in all of this is we have to inspect our expectations. Like you said, I think a little bit more frequently than we do because of what happens within our economy.
Oh, absolutely. I think more so now than ever before, with all the constant changes, you have to be on top of things. You know, the days of just being oblivious to what's going on, I think those days are gone. Mm-hmm. The world's getting a little bit more complicated. A lot of things are getting more complicated. And as we move along, staying on top of it becomes more paramount than ever before. You know, we're seeing so many different changes, so many different regulations coming through. There's so many new bills that are in place right now that are trying to make it through the House and to the Senate, with major changes to retirement and everything else like that. So I think that inspecting and you know, going back to your roots of what you're doing is really, really important. And I know most people don't like doing that because we're always afraid of saying, oh my gosh, if I look at it and I'm off target, I'm just going to get depressed. Or if I look at it and I'm off target, I'm just going to like, oh. But really, to me, when you inspect, it should be inspiring. Inspection equals inspiration. Because if you look at it that way and you're saying, okay, this is what I need. So now I know what to get, stay on course, or I need to rev it up, or I need to change courses or anything like that. I think that the more we inspect, it also creates more inspiration, whether it's financial or otherwise.
I agree. It's kind of like preparing for Christmas, because at the end, you're going to see such joy with what you have worked for, and you're going to open it. So without knowing what you need to do. So there's a lot of things, Al, that you're able to direct people on, CDs, 401. I mean, just there's a, tell me a little bit about how or what, if someone came to you and said, okay, I want to get my finances going to where not only am I maintaining my lifestyle, but I want to do something a little bit better than where I'm at, and I need your help. What can I kind of expect when I go see you or talk to you via Skype or make an appointment with you?
Yeah, anytime that we visit with anyone, it's really about listening. And, you know, when I meet with somebody, I do more listening actually than talking. It's interesting because a lot of people say, geez, I was, you said so much, but I really don't, not at the beginning, because what I really want to get to know is, who are you? Because it has nothing to do, you know, I always say there's a difference between ability and technique. And we all have abilities to do things. We all have tools and things like that. But at the end of the day, it's really about strategy. And without really getting to know and listening to the individual, really listening to, talking really not really about money so much. Everybody's, when they sit down here first, they're always like, wow, we didn't really talk about money, because that's the secondary part to this. It's really about you. Who are you? What are you guys, what are you doing? You and your wife, or you and yourself, or whoever. What are you doing? What are you all about? What are those dreams? What are those goals? Are they 5-year goals? Are they 10-year goals? Are they 20-year goals? Are we moving? Are we staying? Do we love our kids? Do we not love our kids? Do we want to help with grandkids? Do we not want to help with grandkids? All of that is really what becomes important, because then once you know the individual, then whatever tools you want to use, whatever products you want to use, that's just all secondary, because that's just, what are we going to incorporate to make this happen? Because we look at it this way. We say we have a goal and we have finances, and we never want them to be at odds with each other. They need to be, it's a holistic approach to an individual. So really it's about listening, understanding, having some really good details about how are we living, what are we looking at, how does that life look, how does a month look for you, how does a 6 month look for you, how does a year look for you, how does 15 years from now, how does 10 years, 15, 20 years look like for you, so that we can start getting a picture of who the individual is. And I think when we take people through that cycle, they're doing a lot of introspect. And they're learning more about themselves. And it's interesting that, you know, we get couples that have been married 30, 40 years coming in here. And it's interesting that sometimes this is the first time they've had these really heart-to-heart conversations, because I get it all the time. Oh, my goal is to do this, and I'm going to be doing this. And the spouse, or, you know, looks at them like, you are, or we are, or I didn't know that, or this. And you know, that creates that environment of really communicating and communicating what we need, because it starts with you, not with your money. It starts with you. Mm-hmm. Now the thing is that now we have the money to equal what you want, and what adjustments we need to do, or what do we need to do to maintain what we have so we can continue. So we are really all about you, the individual, the person, because there is no cookie cutter solutions. There really isn't. And everybody's an individual. Everybody has their own issues. Everybody has their own dreams and goals and everything else like that. So we spend a large majority of time just talking about you, the individual.
See, this is really neat. And so I think that everyone should have an opportunity to connect with you and see all of the different things that you can do for them. And so if you would give them, the audience, your information, how to connect with you, what they can see for themselves. You have a great website. And anything else that you would want to leave them with so that they can really, I know that they're already going to see just how much that you can do for them, but anything else that you want to share?
Well, first of all, you know, to be able to see us or get a hold of us, you know, on our website, www.summitgp.com, we're on Facebook, CKS Summit Group and all that kind of good stuff. But I think it really comes down to knowledge is power. And I truly believe that. And I think education at every level of life, whether you're young, whether you're in the middle of life, or you're getting ready for your golden years or your happy years or however you want to call it, I think it's really about gaining knowledge. It's really about finding someone who has commonality and thought with you. I always tell my clients, I said, you know, the first thing I look at when I bring on a client is, do we have commonality and thought? We're not going to agree on everything, but I want commonality. Are we both thinking the same way? Do we both have that same commitment? And then the next thing is finding the enhancement. Can we enhance what you are today? Because just to switch over for no reason doesn't make sense. So it's really about, I think, empowering yourself. Somebody that really can sit down with you and explain life, you know, explain finances to you in a layman's term that could be understood. So I think it just gets back to knowledge is power. Today, more than ever, I can't stress it enough. You have to stay on top of things. You have to be listening. And if you're not doing it yourself, hopefully you've aligned yourself with somebody who's giving you the information that's really pertinent to you. And it's not just going to the masses, but it's really caring about you yourself.
I love it. Thank you so much, Al. I think what you've said, I'm just so touched, because education is number one. And well, being us is number one. Education is number two. But these all go hand in hand. Knowledge is power, and building and establishing a really good relationship with each other is so important with everybody that is going to be a anchor in our life. And someone that's going to be anchoring to our finances is essential for us to have a good relationship with. So I love that that is the most paramount thing that you think of before finances. So thank you for being with us today.
Rebecca, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Mm-hmm. I think so too. I'm excited to have you back.
Thank you. Look forward to it.
And I want to thank all of you for tuning in to another episode of Rebecca Sounds Reveille. With us today was Al Caicedo. And I've got to tell you, this has been quite interesting. Remember, knowledge is power. And you've got to take a look at so many things that you hadn't taken a look at before in your finance area. Don't just look at your bank statement. Look at everything that you've got. And Al is definitely somebody to talk to, because he has his interest in you first. Lifestyle enhancement. This is fantastic. I also want you to share this with your friends, family, coworkers, everybody you know on social media, and those that you don't. Also, don't forget to connect with us on Facebook, facebook.com/RebeccaSoundsReveille, and click the subscribe button on YouTube. I look forward to talking with you. And until then, thanks for tuning in.